Tell me about growing up, being a little girl.
Wow, growing up being a little girl. Grew up right across the river in Newark, New Jersey as a little girl. I moved to East Orange when I was about 13 years old till I moved out of my mom's house at 19 years old. A lot of stuff between then, between the beginning and then. Life was fun. I mean, we had a big family. So, you know, my father has 9 brothers and sisters, 9 of them. And my mother comes from 7 brothers and sisters.
Did you think, I'm a girl, I can only do certain kinds of things? Or was that never part of your...
Well, I was a tomboy, so that never really entered my mind. I didn't really know I was a girl until I had to put on a shirt. I couldn't run around with naked anymore. And somebody told me, you got to put on a shirt, Dana. You're a girl. I'm like, why? They're like, you're a girl. And I'm looking at my brother and my cousins, like, they're just running around with no shirts on. And I'm like, well, why do I have to put on a shirt? They don't have to put on. And then I kind of realized there's a difference between boys and girls. So, and I don't think I liked it initially because it meant, you know, something gets taken away and you get treated a little differently. So that was like strike one. But other than that, I mean, it was a lot of fun, a lot of love in our house, not a whole bunch of money, but a lot of love, a lot of family, a lot of music.
You've said that you listen to all kinds of rock and roll and...
Yeah, I listen to everything. My dad primarily played strictly jazz. So you get in my father's car and it was always jazz on the radio. And you get with my mom or in her car and it was anything from Elton John to Bob Marley to Phoebe Snow to the Temprees and the Shy Lights. And, you know, we just had a big musical dynamic. You know, as I grew older, I just loved all kinds of music. Then hip hop came along. And of course, the bug, I fell in love with hip hop. I always loved music. My aunt directed a big mass choir down in Virginia. And I would always go to choir rehearsal with her. And I just loved the way she stacked songs and taught harmonies. And I would be learning these songs and singing along. And I just had a deeper appreciation for music. The songs I would gravitate to wouldn't be necessarily the singles. They would be the more introspective ones or things that had weird chords or, you know, songs like that. I didn't just go for the typical single, you know. So I just my ears just trained a little differently.
And doesn't sound like necessarily preparation for being a rap artist.
Well, I think, you know, maybe it was in a way. I think it definitely influenced the type of music that I made when I became a rapper, because when I did become a rapper, my first album is full of musical records, and that was different from a lot of the artists that were out. A lot of the artists, rap artists that came out, when I came out, it was beats and rhyme. For me, I needed a little more musicality in my records, so they would have singing hooks. I would sing a lot of the hooks, like Ladies First. Ooh, Ladies First, Ladies First. It would be singing, or You and I, T-Y. These are all like singing hooks, and I just liked a lot of different kinds of music.
I mean, you were a success before you were really even grown up. I mean, you were, what, 18, 19?
I was 17 when my first single came out.
17?
Yes.
So what does that do to a 17-year-old girl from New Jersey to suddenly have a hit?
It puts money in her pocket. 17-year-old making thousands of dollars. It made me drop out of my college, BMCC, which is down the street. I was 17. I was going to college, my freshman year of college at Borough Manhattan Community College here in Manhattan. And I was making music. My record started playing on the radio. My friends are like, that's you on the radio. Get out of here. They can't even believe it. You know, the ones who don't know me from my music, you know, be hanging out in the basement with us making records. And it's all kind of happening at once. And what it did was give me a choice. You know, the record started to gain some traction and I had to make a decision because I started getting a lot of offers to appear and do shows. And so I had to have the talk with my mom. Yes. So the talk was...
So yeah, let's hear that talk. Let's hear that talk. Mom?
You know, in my household, you had to go to college or you had to work. You couldn't... There was no hanging out, you know. And we were pushed and propelled towards college. But here was this career that was really starting to happen. And I said, Mom, you know, this is really really, you know, getting bigger and bigger, and I think I want to take a year off. But here's my deal. I'll take a year off, and I will put 150% into this music career, and if it doesn't work after a year, I promise you I'll go back to college. And
that seems like a deal that her mother might be able to accept.
And she accepted it. Because I don't know what I would have done if she hadn't accepted. I would have had to do both.
Really?
I would
have
had to
at least... If she had disapproved, would you have continued with college at the same time?
Absolutely. I would have. You know, out of respect, I would have definitely tried to see if I could do them both at the same time. And I would have been working a lot harder. I probably would have had to get a place closer to the city. Because I was taking a train from East Orange every morning. You know, a couple of buses and a train. You know, and walking from the train station to school, you know. So I went from eating, you know, 50-cent hot dogs to being able to afford Mr. Chow, you know. So it was a big change overnight in that sense.
Did you know then you were going to be able to go all the way?
Well, I knew I was going to make it doing something. A lot of it was based on us wanting to change the economic status of our families. So it wasn't just... I want to be a rapper and be famous and be on TV. It was really, I want to become a rapper because I'm talented at it, but I want to buy my mother a house. I want to create a business. I want to expand our horizons. So for me, that meant exploiting all the things I was gifted at, not just rapping. So rapping opened the door to other opportunities like acting. Spike Lee was looking for a female rapper to put in Jungle Fever. Bonnie Love got pregnant and she couldn't do it, so I was next in line and I wound up doing it. That was the beginning of my film career. Will Smith, who we toured with for months and months at a time for a couple of years, he was a good friend of ours. And then when he got a television show, it made us feel like, well, if Will can do it, we can do it. So let's figure out how to do it. And he even helped us to do it. So I wound up with a TV show, you know, Living Single. So it was really just about taking those opportunities and running with them. And once you got in there, okay, let's keep the door open and bring a few other people through. You know, I didn't want to be managed by someone else because I really didn't want anyone else deciding things for me or to be in the dark about every contract or just somebody to put a pen in my hand and say, sign here. And then I've signed away everything, you know. So we opened up our own management company.
When you say we.
Me and my partner, Sha Kim.
Who has been with you from the basement.
Since high school, yeah. Since 10th grade. You know, I've been around in this business long enough to see a lot of people come and go. And see a lot of people's teams turn over. They turn over a lot. And I've been very fortunate to be able to work with the same people that I've been with since, you know, since I was in my teenage years or early 20s.
The decision to drop out of college, it worked out. But do you have any regrets about not getting a degree?
I did. And, I've always tried to continue to educate myself along the way. I mean, I really enjoy learning. I always have. And I enjoyed classroom environments. I loved being around other students and being able to engage in conversation about the world or politics or current events or history, you know. One of my best friends tutored me in algebra when I was a freshman. She was really good at it and I really was not. And so I needed some help and she helped me to get a C+. That was enough to pass, you know what I mean? Geometry I loved, algebra was a challenge. But even that, I still like a challenge. I don't shy away when I'm challenged. I kind of just figure out how I can rise to the occasion or get help.
So, okay, we got to talk about the name. You did not grow up as Queen Latifah.
Who said that?
I don't know.
Who told you?
That's the rumor.
It's true.
Dana Owens.
Yes.
How did you, the Latifah part, as I understand it, came before the Queen.
It did. The Latifah came when I was 8 years old. My cousin Sharonda came over and she had this book of Arabic names and they all had meanings. So it was like 99 names in this book and her sister's name is Latifah as well. So I looked up the meaning of it, and it said delicate, sensitive, kind, nice. And I was like, that's kind of how I feel about me. You know, I'm big for my age. I'm a bit of a tomboy, but I'm actually kind of sensitive and delicate. I get my feelings hurt, you know. And I'm kind-hearted. I care about people and animals and, you know, people who need help, You know, I have a heart for those who aren't doing as well, you know, or just need a leg up. I think I'm a pretty nice person. I felt like it applied to me. So I kept that name, and I kept that name for till I got to high school, where you can become who you want to be. And I started introducing myself as that to people. So a lot of people were calling me La, Atifa, and other people who knew me in class would call me Dana. And so that became my nickname, and people would call me that. And then when it came time, you know, we started rapping, and I was offered the contract, and the lawyer asked me what I wanted to be professionally known as. And I kicked it around for a couple of days, and I decided Queen before Latifah. I didn't want to be, you know, MC Light had a lock on MC, so I didn't want to be MC Latifah. So I just chose Queen. My mother kind of raised me to be a queen. I felt like I was a queen, should be treated as such. Asked my boys what they thought. They was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So that's
what I... It takes a lot of self-confidence to call yourself queen.
I agree. My mother kind of laughed, even though it was her, but she was like, queen? Like, see, I ain't calling you queen. I was like, ma, you the real queen, so you don't have to call me that.
But it stuck. I mean, it really stuck. Do you
it
think
did.
Of your... In
I didn't
your
know
head,
it was going to stick like that.
In your head, are you queen?
I am, you know? I mean, I love being in New York because I'll be walking down the street and the truck driver's, hey, what do you say there, Queenie? Hey, yo, Queen! You know? I think I'm pretty much Queen, you know? I thought people would just call me Latifah a lot, but Queen Latifah. Hey, Queen Latifah! I was like, the whole thing? All right, cool.
You know, it's interesting because the Queen part is really ballsy, really bold, really out there, really, you listen to me, right? You
That's
listen
right.
to me.
That's right.
And the Latifah part is sort of the softer, hey, yes. I care about you, I care about the world. Mm-hmm. So you've got both things going on.
Absolutely. That's the story of my life. It's literally the story of my life, living in these different worlds. And I don't think they have to be mutually exclusive. I think that's the wonderful thing about a woman. We can be strong, we can be bold, we can be brave, we can be ballsy, if you will. Maybe not quite, but then we can be soft and kind and sensitive and tender and nurturing. And to me, that's a beautiful thing. You know, that is a wonderful thing.
I went back and watched the video for Ladies First. And you're all there.
Yes. We changed the world.
Well, you say it jokingly, but I don't think you mean it jokingly.
I kind of mean it jokingly because what 18-year-old does something like that? You know what I mean? When I look back on it, I'm like, what are we doing? Ladies First is, first of all, it's about ladies first. So the idea was to get as many female rappers as were available at the time to come on, jump in this video. Let's all get some screen time. Let's all pay homage to each other. And this really is a celebration of female rappers and of womanhood.
In many ways, you are very open about your life, but there are zones that you just don't go to.
They're just zones that I keep for myself. I mean, I think I'm entitled to my own life, you know, my own private life. There's a public persona, there's a public life we get to share together. I share as much as I can. And then certain things I just don't want to share. I want to keep them for me and mine, you know. I want to keep them for those who truly care about me and love me, you know, and those who I truly love and care about.
So many celebrities these days, though, there seems to be no separation between public and private.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder whether your way doesn't lead to a longer and happier public life. As well as private life. I mean, I wonder. I mean, as you look back, you've now had years of this. I love something you say. You say, well, you know, I just want people to go right ahead and speculate because they're going to do it anyway.
They are. You know, go ahead and write whatever you want to write or say what you want to say. I guess if I feel the need to address it, I will. But, you know, I live my life and people write about my life. You know what I mean? I'm actually living it. And I live my life pretty fully. You know, I don't change anything about me to cater to the public I'm not trying to hide anything necessarily. I'm just trying to keep something sacred. And there's a difference between hiding something and keeping something for me.
Like everybody, you've had tough times. But I think it does help people who look at you and admire you And you've been public about a lot of this. Your brother mm-hmm. died, which was a terrible tragedy. Mm-hmm. You were carjacked, terrible, horrible thing. But yeah, you've survived.
I'm here, still standing. I'm still standing.
Is there some, you know, there's an old line of poetry about the greatest tragedy is to have the experience and miss the meaning. Are you far enough away from those very hard things to have found meaning? And
not all of them, no. Nah. Some of them, yeah, I have found lots of meaning. I've learned a lot. I think if anything, they've kind of built my faith in God. You know, tough times kind of make me lean on God more and lean on my family and my friends more and try to get away and get space and get, you know, kind of breathe.
Mm-hmm. You know, I asked Cher when she was about your age, is there anything good about getting older? And her answer was, no, there's nothing good about getting older. It's all just awful.
That's funny.
So I ask you, is it, you know, you've been at this for a while now. You're still a young woman, but you're not as young as you once were. What do you think?
Yeah, my knees sure aren't.
Yeah.
Knee one and two. They can use a little lubrication there every once in a while.
Anything good about getting older?
I think so. I think getting older, you don't stress as much about things that you probably worried about before. I think you start to really become more and more comfortable with you, whoever that person is. I don't think, it depends on, to me, how you look at life. Like for me, there's so much more to do. And there's always hopefully going to be more to do. When my mind thinks something, then there's something more to do. Boom.
Well, you're busy doing something more.
Yes. Yes, there's always more. So, you know, and it doesn't have to be a career thing. It could be a hobby. It could be something you enjoy. It could be a place you haven't been.
Well, I don't know when you have any time for that. You are building apartment buildings in Newark?
Well, luckily, I don't have to do it myself. It's not a DIY project, so I don't think anybody's going to buy my do-it-yourself, you know, apartments. But yes, there's some property I've been acquiring for years now on a block in Newark because I love Newark and I want to see it be great.
Is this going to be low-income housing?
No, it's not all low-income housing. It's mostly market-rate housing, and then there's a great percentage of it that is affordable housing. So, and it's going to be beautiful. So I'm just looking forward to it being built. This build will be done in about 2 years altogether.
How did you come to the idea that you wanted to do this?
Well, I love architecture. I love design, and I always have. I mean, in my house, you find more interior design and architecture magazines than anything else. I wanted to just invest in some real estate, and I saw this block in Newark.
You have another project you're very excited about, yeah. Which is giving, really taking a lot of the sun that shined on you and helping shine it on others, young women filmmakers.
That's a beautiful way of putting that. Shouldn't we do that in life generally? Take some of the sun that shined on us and shine it on others? That way everybody get a little sunshine. You know, bring your Florida to me, okay? In my winter.
The Queen Collective.
The Queen Collective. So, we've been hearing a lot lately about women in Hollywood, women in advertising, the business of women, and the equality of where women are with men in these various businesses and genres. And there's a big disparity. There's a huge disparity, you know, from with women directors in film compared with men. So the Queen Collective was conceived as a way to try to help women directors have opportunities to direct films and to have their films distributed and seen. So I partnered up with Procter & Gamble to support it, as well as Tribeca Film Festival. They're supporting it as well. As a matter of fact, it's going to air. The two selectees that we have that shot their short films, they're going to air at the Tribeca Film Festival. And they will premiere on Hulu, their films, on April 27th. So you'll be able to see Ballet After Dark and if there's light. Two emotionally gripping stories told documentary style, short films that'll just kind of wrap you in, take you on a quick journey. But stories that we wouldn't have seen if I probably wouldn't have given these women an opportunity. And I wish I could give a whole bunch more women the same opportunity. So hopefully we'll be able to do that in year two.
How'd you get the idea? Why did you decide to do this?
There's just so much you're seeing. I mean, with the age of Me Too, and you're learning so much more, it's a perfect time to continue to shift the culture, to change people's attitudes.
It must feel really good.
It feels great. It feels great every time throughout my career when I've been able to make this kind of a difference. It is important to do well and do good. And you can. And I've seen it since early in my career, that you can make money and sleep at night. You know what I mean? You can make money and still do good things. You don't have to step on everybody's neck or step on everybody's head to get up to where you want to be.
How worried are you about America right now as we sit here?
Well, I'm only worried about America if we choose to be apathetic. It's always been a problem. I'm only worried about American apathy, I think. Other than that, I'm always very hopeful that things can change. But if we are apathetic, if we really get lost in who we actually are as human beings, if we don't confront our terrible past, you know, this country got very rich because of slavery, because you kidnapped Africans, you brought them here, and you made a lot of money for hundreds of years off of people who got nothing. Slavery, you know, rape, murder, slavery is not nice. We are the descendants of that, you know, we're all the descendants of that past. So what we need to do is just deal with the real. There's no reason that another country should be able to come in and separate us using racism. How pathetic is that of us that at this point in time, all these years later, somebody could use our own history against us in that way? It's only because we haven't dealt with it and we still carrying too much of it. Okay, let's just talk about it, deal with it, recognize it for what it is. Somebody made a lot of money. I don't know whose family did, in my mind. Not most of the people I know, black or white. You know what I mean? Everybody's still mostly trying to make it. So we need to deal with our racism and our classism and our gender equality issues. We need to deal with all of that stuff. And then we need to move forward. Because while we're sitting here fighting over the past and old things, you know, the other places are blowing past us. We act like our kids are the best educated on the planet. They're not. We're not even supplying our children with what they need to learn and grow. We are way behind in things like math and science. We're not where we should be. You know, we got the nerve to actually fight over it. Like we're really doing something amazing. We're capable of it. You know, we are surely capable of it because I've seen it in people. I've seen how capable. Look at me. I'm a testament, you know, of what you can do when you invest in a child and what you do when you support them. But I'm not special in that way. You know, we're all over the place and we just kind of need to really use our hearts more and not, not be so separated. We're really more the same than we are different.
You have also talked about and represented that everybody is in a size 8. I'm certainly not.
Well, most people don't look like the people in the magazines. I mean, most people don't look like what they look like on their own social media most of the time. You know, we got filters and we add vibrant colors and everybody's trying to present this image of who they maybe want to be on a normal basis. But I mean, I'm not always in full hair and makeup, although that's how I want to look on my Instagram. It's just not the truth. I think we need to see people that look real. I think I was one of the most successful and longest running cover girls because I looked like people out there who wore the makeup. You know, you're selling things to everyday women, but you're not creating things for everyday women, then that doesn't make sense. You know, so clothing lines and magazines and makeup, it needs to reflect the consumer. It needs to me, respect the consumer at least, and just know that, we need clothes that are fly and in our size.
If you could give one piece of advice to young women who are listening to you right now, what would it be?
go for it. Whatever it is. As long as it ain't illegal.